the cross. It was called a tree. Amen. Because of the cross that was put up and Jesus put on it, all the goodness that came out of God's heavenly place was to be poured out into our lives. Think about that. Think about it. The Bible says God would not withhold one good thing from you. Not one good thing. Amen? So God's purpose and plan is to lead your life into what is good and away from what is evil.
Amen.
Amen. Amen? And the battle is between the Spirit of God in you and your spirit working together to bring you into the goodness of God and your mind, your will, your emotions, your thoughts. Because those are the things that you truly fight a great warfare with. It's not the devil. He's been defeated.
That's right.
He can tempt you, yes. But he can tempt you only with your thoughts. And when your thoughts conceive of that which he tempts you with, then you go into sin. But know this. He cannot in any way influence your life outside of your willingness to submit to his ways. Well, what if somebody comes up and says something to me? So, Satan has a way of using other people to come at you, to cause you to submit to his ways. So when you bless those who curse you, pray for those who despitefully use you, when only out of your mouth comes the word of God, which is the goodness of God, when you are now able to come, praise God, I'll get into another message here. Listen to this. The Lord showed me something the other day, and he said, and I was half asleep and awake. That's when God gets me the quiet time. When, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself. But he said this. He said, David, there's love, three types. Now, we know the agape love, the brotherly love, and all. But he said, it's this. When you start operating in my love, in other words, when you love me as you should, you will begin to be able to love others as I love them. And once you grow in that love for me, and by extension you start loving others, he said, I will bring you such a great depth of walking in love, you'll learn to love your enemies. Because you know as well as I do, you can't love your enemies unless first the love of God has been poured out into your heart. And you can't just love them then either. Because the depth by which you love God, in other words, every inch of you, everything in you loves God. Everything. Matter of fact, he said in Revelation, and the church at Ephesus, wasn't it the first church he talked about? He said, here's your biggest problem. And so whenever God puts something first, you mean that's the biggest thing. Amen? He said, I know your works. I know all the good things you're doing and all this good stuff. But here's what you did wrong. You left your first love. He said, now you have to love the Father so greatly that it will seem as if you hate your mother, your father, your wife, your uncle, your nephew. To that degree, you have to love others. And that doesn't mean you hate others. It just means that separation is so great for your love for him and love for anything else is so great, it seems as if you have no concern for them. That's an awesome love. Amen? And so in order to hear the voice of your God, first of all, you've got to get to that first love. You've got to go back there. He said, repent and return to where you began. Because when you first got saved, the only thought that ever came to your mind was, I love you, Jesus. I love you, God. Right? Come on. You know it as well as I. If you didn't have that first active response to a love that was extended to you so greatly that he willingly laid down his life, there's nobody in this place will do what he did for you. Nobody. As much as I love my wife, if I was running into a burning building to save her, I'd think twice.
I know.
But so would she. And so would any of us. Come on now. Now, you might instinctively run in. Praise God. And the Bible tells us that a good person might just lay down his life for someone else. Might. But Jesus died on the cross and gave his life purposely, knowing that you were in such depth of sin that you were on your way to hell. And yet he loved you enough to die for you. And that's the type of love we need to extend to our Heavenly Father. I'm willing to die for you. And that's what the word says. Pick up your cross, deny yourself, which means just die to self, and follow me. That's what he's called us into. Once we get to that place, our love for one another is simple. Because all we can see is Jesus in you. I can't see when you mess up. I can't see when you talk bad. I can't see when you do things wrong. If I got my eyes on Jesus, listen, my eyes are so clouded with the glory of my Heavenly Father that I can't see the darkness and the sin in others. That's love. Even when you mess up, God doesn't look and go, "Oh, Wanda, you messed up again here. Look what you did." He doesn't do that. He sees the glory of his son, and he sees Wanda through the glory of his son. Amen. Now, if she sins without repentance, there isn't a result and an effect from those things. But if we sin and we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. That's thrown to the sea of forgetfulness, as far as the east is from the west. Our transgressions have been removed from us. Glory. We're back into glory again. Amen? And then, by extension, even as you go past that point, you're in such love with the Father. When your enemies come up, you see them and you say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They don't understand, Lord, how they're touching one of your children and how the effect it is on their lives when they mess up with one of the God's anointed. And each one of you are one of his anointed, by the way. God has separated each one of you that your life would glorify him. And that others would look and hear what you have to say, and that they would come to the Lord just because of the love that you have shown to him, to one another, and then to them. And that love will destroy every yoke, every bondage, everything that you think. And listen, sometimes I preach to the choir. My wife said to me before service, just for you, "You better change your attitude." With this, "You better change your attitude." It wasn't, "You better change your attitude." You,
I did not do that.
Well, more than maybe like that. Just two.
One.
I think it was two. And she was right.
Thank you.
Because I had the wrong attitude.
Yes.
I don't say that I walk in that type of love always, but I want to.
Amen.
And I recognize as I was speaking about what I'm speaking, what God just laid on my heart, because I don't have that in my notes, that he was saying to me, "How can you tell somebody to do that when you won't do it?" And he said, when you do that, he said, you become a hypocrite. Amen? I can't tell someone else to love like that unless I love like that. And I can't love like that unless I walk in his love. And first of all, make him first. That's why that love enables me to confess my sins before him, because I know he won't beat me up. I know he won't sit there and judge me and condemn me, because the word says there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I know I'm loved. Matter of fact, I'm part of the beloved, he said. I know he chose me for his team. Amen? Hallelujah. The Super Bowl's on its way, but I already won. I'm on the winning team. Amen? Glory to God. When you realize that, all you need to do is, remember we talked about this before, you need to get the next play from our Heavenly Father. Jesus is the quarterback. Whatever position you play, because remember, there's many members, and each one has its own part to play. And you say, he says, "I need you to block." All right, you get on your knees and start praying. Amen? I need you to run out for a pass. So you get ready and put on your shoes. Get ready to run the race that God instructs you to run. He tells you to turn left, you turn left, you turn right, wherever he tells you to go. Whatever God instructs you to do, you're going to do. Why? Because you love him. Not because you have to. Because you love him. What else is there? Everything comes out of love. All the goodness of God comes out of his love for you. The key we've got to get into is, okay, what does God, I want to say it the right way. Here's our struggle. Right now I can hear the people, some people in here, not everybody. They're thinking to themselves, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't pray enough. I don't read enough. I don't do all those things enough. And I know that because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm not going to see what God has for me. I know that. Brother and sister, God loves you. It's by grace, and grace alone, through faith. Trust in God's love. Have faith in his goodness. He doesn't change like us. We change whatever comes our way. We got plans this way, and then something changes it, and we got plans that way, and then something changes it, and we got plans. And we're like a ship on an ocean with every time the new wave comes, it pushes us this way, then it pushes us that way. And we miss it. We miss the stability of knowing that we're going to get to shore without problems. We also know that if he tells us to put the net over to the side of the ship, that we're going to get a great load of fish. In other words, what God is saying, this is what God really laid on my heart today with about hearing his voice. God says, some of you are doing business, but the Father knows the business you're in. And when you're doing the business God instructed you to do and created you to do, he said that I will lead and guide you because I have seen business from the beginning of time, and I know the ones that fail, and I know why they fail, and I know the ones that succeed and why they succeed. And if you will invest time to hear what I have for you, I will instruct you on how to prosper in that thing which I've created you to do. Amen? Because we all have this word of God in us. We praise God for it. Because it's instrumental in hearing the voice of God. But God is saying to us, I want you to hear me on a regular basis, and I will instruct you in the paths to lead you into success, prosperity, spirit, soul, and body, that you will not fail in whatever I ask you to do. And if you get a word from him, I will guarantee 100% you will not fail in whatever it is. I don't care what it is. You will not fail. If God tells you to do it, look through the scriptures. Anytime they obeyed God and the voice of God, Paul was sitting there in prayer with a whole bunch of people, other apostles, other disciples. And it said they pray and fasted. And then the Spirit of God said, now separate me, Paul, to the work I've called him to do. The word of God was spoken. Paul went out and was successful to the point that we still talk about him today. 2,000 years ago, Paul, give or take a few years, I understand that. Paul was a reprobate. He went out to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. One word from God changed his whole life. From worthlessness to being worthy by the word of God spoken to him. I want to read this to you. You know this scripture, but let me bring it to you. Jeremiah 29:11. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. He goes on to say, then you will call upon me and go pray to me, and I will listen to you, And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. When you put God first in everything you do, whether it's getting up in the morning, the first thought, the first words to praise him, to worship him, or maybe just to pray a short prayer, or maybe to get into the word and read a few scriptures to feed your inner man. Whatever it is, when you put him first, God had already put you first. And God isn't telling you you have to do something. What God wants you to do is receive something. God is not holding any good thing back from you. Oh, then I must be a terrible person. No. Know this. Go with me into John 10. And I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I want to get there anyways. No, wait a minute. I'm going to change that. Go to Genesis real quick. I want you to see, and you know these scriptures, but I'm just bringing them back to reminding you. This is a time in the garden when Adam and Eve were there. They had just ate from the tree that was forbidden for them to partake of. And they went into hiding. And it says here, Genesis 3:8. I'm sorry. And it says, they, meaning Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. Know this, God's sole purpose to create man was to have fellowship with him. God wanted to extend, to be able to pour out his love. He is love. And his whole purpose of creating man was to pour out his love into his life. He wanted them to know him. And so he wanted to be able to walk through the garden and talk with him. Have fellowship with him. Fellowship is about communication. Talking back and forth. So Adam, how was your day today? Good, good, God. What were you doing today? As if God didn't know, but I'm sure he just wanted to hold conversation with him, wanted to spend time with him. Oh, I was over there, and some of the animals came by, and I gave them a name, each one of them. Oh, good for you, Adam. You're doing what I asked you to do. You're taking care of my garden. Yes, Father, I'm doing the best I can with it. Oh, good. I'm glad you are. I want you to know that I think you're a wonderful person. I created you, and I put every good thing that I've got in me into you. You're filled with the goodness of God. Do you know that? If God didn't think you were worthy, then he never would have come and died on the cross. When Adam and Eve fell, God had already established a plan to restore the fellowship that was lost between them. God already intended to make a way. Now, God wasn't content with just going to one or two. In other words, the prophets and the judges. That wasn't enough for God. God wanted to have fellowship with all his created beings, with everyone. He doesn't just talk to a pastor, a prophet, evangelist, teacher, apostle. He talks to all of you all the time. If you would recognize it, wherever you go, he's with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you all the time. You just haven't got your eyes to see yet. You haven't got your ears to hear yet. I'm speaking to you. God is talking all the time. God is warning, God is instructing, God is directing. And he didn't leave any of you out. There's not one in this place that God says, you're on your own. Now there are some who doesn't want to be led by the Father and be directed by him. They want to live their life the way they want to live it. They want to do the things they want to do. That's fine. God still loves you. But you understand that God's purpose for you is to live a good and godly, meaning God wants to be involved in your life. It's not that he's not withholding anything from me. He's not saying to you, listen, I'm not going to, if you follow me, I'm not going to let you go over there and do that, and I'm not going to let you go over and do that, and you can't go over there. He doesn't do that. That's called the law. He said, all things are permissible, but not all things are profitable. He said, I love you enough to warn you to stay out of that den of iniquity because it'll kill you. It'll destroy relationships. It'll destroy your peace. It will not bring you any joy. It'll bring you a temporary satisfaction to the flesh, but in the end of it, you'll still wake up with the hangover. And the results of that sin can be detrimental to your health. So God is saying, I love you enough to warn you not to go there. But if you don't listen to my warnings, if you won't follow the directions in the path, because he said, listen, I've already set a path for you. I've already ordered your footsteps. I already got your path right there. And if you look, and if you got eyes to see, he said, I don't know where this came from. He said, I will make your footsteps glow in front of you. So even in the dark, you won't miss. He said, I will put a light in you that you can see beyond your footstep here. And I'll show you where the next one is before you take that step. Glory to God. Do you understand? We are such a blessed people. We are blessed with every blessing that God could possibly give to his children. Every blessing that possibly could come out of the throne room of grace and mercy he has already taught and gave to you. Imagine that. That means your health. That means your wealth. That means your peace. Hallelujah. I got to keep going where I'm going. Amen. God wants to keep with us. He wants fellowship with us. Now we know, because, glory to God, go to Isaiah 59. We know what separated us from God was the fall of man. Sin entered into the picture. Matter of fact, it says right here in Isaiah 59. Listen to what he says. Behold, in other words, look. Pay attention. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. So in other words, God is saying, listen, I am willing to save to the uttermost. I am willing to deliver you out of the bondage. I am willing to save you from destruction. I'm willing to do that, and my arm isn't too short. In other words, I have the capability and the ability and the willingness to do it. Well, how come it doesn't happen? But God says, I heard your prayer. I heard your prayer. I heard your prayer. So he says, my ears are not too heavy that they can't hear. Your slightest whisper, your slightest groan, your slightest whimper and tear, and you're crying out. You don't have to have a great loud voice. God hears every syllable that comes out of your mouth. And as you whisper your prayer to him, or you cry quietly in the corner someplace, or you close your door and you wonder, where is this God? God says, I'm right there. I haven't left. He said, but what separated us? Look what he said. But your iniquities have separated from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. Your sins have come up between you and this God. Your sins have come up between you and this God. So that he will not hear. Hallelujah. But, don't you love it when there's a but? There's a but this time. It's an acceptable but. Because it's a godly but. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen what he said. Hallelujah. Let me find it, and then I'll tell you what he said. He said this: who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Yes, it was a time when the sins of man separated the father from his children. They couldn't hear what he had to say because their sins separated them. But then came along Jesus. That thing that separated us, that sin that separated us, he took and removed. Now there's no barrier between our heavenly Father and his children. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Now, because he did that, because of by faith, I believe that he separated every barrier, every veil that separated me from the Holy of Holies. I can boldly come into the throne of grace and mercy, make my request known before our Heavenly Father. And I have this assurance and confidence that if he hears me, and I know he hears me because my sin that stopped him from hearing me has been removed. Now I know. Amen. That if I ask, I shall receive. I have a confidence. I have a boldness. I have an assurance. I know who he is. I know who I am. And I know who is the one who removed the veil and the barrier between him and I. Now I can come into his presence. See, many of his children don't know that. They still look at others and judge others. They still look at others and hold their trespass against them and their anger towards them. That will separate you from hearing the voice of your God. You cannot operate outside of love and still think you can enter into the presence of love. You can still be saved. Because it's faith in Christ to say, but we want to go beyond just getting saved. We want to go beyond just going to church. We want to be the children of the living God with the access into the very presence of our Heavenly Father, the one who created all of this stuff that you've been trying to fight for and gain and do all you can to get this and get that, get this and get that. Your Heavenly Father owns it all. And he's willing to give it to his children. He said, I will hold no good thing. He said, I created all this for your joy. I want you to enjoy this earth. That's what I created for. When he comes back, Jesus sets up his throne here on earth, I'm going to tell you, we're going to have a good time. There's going to be dancing and singing in the streets. There's going to be party time. You don't think so? I intend to. Because I know the first thing that my Father's going to do when I get to heaven, he's going to give me a wedding supper. Yaha! That means we're partying the first thing we get up there. We're partying. You're going to say, Yahoo! Come on. The Lord himself will serve you up there. As you served him down here, and as you've been faithful down here, God will show his faithfulness by opening up the heavens to you. He was already building you a home up there. He's already preparing a dinner table for you up there. He's already put presents in his presence. Amen? But God is God of this earth, too. You understand that? But he gave dominion to man. When man lost the dominion over this earth in the garden by giving it to Satan, Jesus came, took it back from Satan, and gave it back to us. Amen. To enjoy. He said we can reign in this life. Amen? Now because we are humble, and I say that with pride, because we are humble and our humility comes from the acknowledgement, it's not us. It's the Christ in us. It's not us. It's not as if we're smart enough or that we are strong enough, or that we're holy enough on our own? No. No. Why do you think we love him so much? Because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. And if there's no unrighteousness in me, the only thing that left can be is righteous. Righteous in me, I'm right standing with my Heavenly Father. Our problem is we've been so long accustomed to having to beg, to argue, to fight. All this stuff we got to do, we got to... God said, what are you doing? You're pushing against the stone and it means absolutely nothing, because if you move the stone, there's another stone in front of you. Let me move the stone. Well, how are you going to move the stone? I will tell you what to do and it will go. What happens? All of a sudden, you can't stand up and say, look what I did. You can't say it. You can't take credit for it. You've given it all to him. All you did was do what he told you to do. That's it. Simplicity in itself. This whole thing boils down to the Father speaking, we hearing, we doing, he doing. Get it? Because as you do it, he's the one who does it. The battle belongs, we sang it, the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. Battle what? Over life. Yes. Over this life. It's not hard to submit and surrender to God. It's only hard to release self into his care. Because we're not sure that he loves us enough to keep us. We're not sure. I remember one Christian saying to me one time, I'm always afraid. And I said, what are you afraid of? Well, that God will want me to do something I don't want to do. Okay. Just like any good mother and father, they're going to teach their children, this is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad. And when they get up to a certain age, he lets them go. The parents let them go. You make your choice. I've already instructed you what to do. Our Heavenly Father's like that. I met Joshua when he was coming across into the Promised Land. Joshua 24, I think around 15, he says, you choose this day whom you will serve. Either gods that were behind you in Egypt. In other words, he's saying this to us. You choose this day who you'll serve. The gods of before your salvation or the God after your salvation. But he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The one who saved us, the one who died for me. I am not submitting to those devils out there who tried to destroy my life, kill me, and keep me in bondage. I will not submit to that. I choose to submit to him. I choose to follow him. Look what he said in Ephesians 1. Using the scriptures. Hallelujah. My watch stop? What time is it? 11 o'clock? Wow, how did I get all that in that little bit? Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:24, I apologize. Listen, let me read that out of the Amplified before we go into Ephesians. He said, he personally, meaning Jesus, personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree, as on an altar, and offered himself on it, that we might die, cease to exist to sin, and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Hallelujah. Jesus said something once, and it really... Well, I always go back to that. And he said, if you love me, you'll do all that I command. And I used to think all the time, Lord, I must not love you because I messed up and didn't do what you told me to do there, and I didn't do what you told me to do there. And I think the Lord showed me. He said, David, it's not, I say David because I always talk to God that way in the third person. David, it's not that I command you to do these things. He said, you will do these things because you love me. Not that you have to do them to show your love. You understand? There's a difference. There may be a fine line difference here, but if you grasp that, God is saying, and this is where grace comes in, this is where mercy comes in, this is where love comes in. You will love the brethren and even get to a point of love that where you're more concerned about them than you are your own welfare when you love me the way you should love me. Once we get to that place, that's such a great victory, the devil has no place to go. See, perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love is one, and we can look in the scriptures, but, and I told you this many times, I said, the one thing that gets me is this. It thinks no evil. Do you know your Heavenly Father never thinks evil of you? Not one time. Not one time. Do you know that he loved his children from the Garden of Eden right up to the point of Malachi, right into the Gospels, right into the Acts, right all the way through there. God loved them. He didn't hate them. God always made a way for them. Even when they messed up, God still loved them. Even when they rejected him, God still loved them. I don't think there's anything in this world you could possibly do to separate yourself from his love. Do you understand that? That's how sure we are. That's how steadfast. We're tied into this thing, not by our choices and our works, but by God's choice and his works at Calvary. When he chose you and called you, he prepared you for receiving the love that he has for you, that you may live in it. I can't get off love today. But I want you to understand, look, your mind is telling you, yeah, but you don't know what I did. Yeah, but you don't know what I said. Yeah, but God knows, but he still loves you. You get it? If you can accept that love, pretty soon you'll start. I think the Lord is saying this. He said, and you're right. But what he's saying is, when you're filled with my love, he said, you will naturally. I'm going to say it this way. If you eat enough garlic, garlic starts coming out your pores. Right? And people can smell you had garlic or you drink. Amen? He said, if you will love that way, he said, love will naturally come out your pores. You will walk into the midst of people, and that love will start working without you saying a word. That's what happened. When Jesus came to earth, there was no love. His light came, his love came, and it affected a whole nation. Then it went beyond that nation to other nations. And the whole world got affected by one man coming in love of the Father. Imagine if all of us walked in that love. How many people would be affected and infected with love? It changes our whole, our homes are filled with love now instead of anger and arguing and fighting. Love is thinking about someone else and say, I want you to be blessed even at the cost of me for this time. Because when you give, it shall be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together. When you try to hold on something, that God is requiring of you to let loose of. If you keep holding on to it, pretty soon it'll die in your hand. But if you give it to the Lord and open your hand and release it, God can then take it and start working in it to bring such a joy and a peace out of it, because God never gave you anything that wasn't good. Hallelujah. Oh, I keep going back to love. But let's go back to Ephesians. What did I tell you to go to? 1:5. I'm going to read, let me read it out of I got it in the Amplified. For he foreordained us, or destined us, planned in love for us to be adopted, revealed as his own children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the purpose of his will, because it pleased him and was his kind intent. Hallelujah. Romans 8:15 says, for the spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship, and the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. Do you hear what he said there? We can say Abba, Father, or we can be caught up in the glory of his love. And out of that comes Abba, Father, Daddy. There's a difference. One, you're speaking out of the Spirit, right out of the heart of God. And the other, you're speaking out of your mind. Oh yeah, I know, he's my Heavenly Father. But it makes a big difference. The Spirit himself testifies. The Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. In 2 Corinthians 6:18 it says, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. Recognize that you are his child. Don't let it just be words that you hear. Don't let it be words you hear. Or just words, but let it become reality. Stop. Consider, what's it mean to be a child of God? What's it mean to be a child of the God of all creation? What does it mean to be a child of the God who's going to bring us into heavenly places, whether by the rapture or by the grave? Whichever way he takes us, he's taking us into his presence. Glory to God. What's it mean if I'm his child here? Why do I have to fight so hard? Why do I have to struggle so hard? When he said that you're heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ, I've given you everything necessary for good and godly life. All of this I've prepared for you before the foundation of the world. What a blessing to be called the children of the living God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if he is our Heavenly Father, he wants us to hear his voice. Because like any good father, or let's put it this way, better than good father, he's going to instruct his children in the way they should go to the best of his ability. That we're able to be like our Heavenly Father here on earth while we're here. Go with me into John 10. Glory to God. John 10. Hallelujah. We're going to read through 1 through 4. I assure you most solemnly, he's being very, very strong statement here. I tell you, he who does not enter by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs some other way, elsewhere from some other quarter, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the door for this man, and the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. All right? Who's the shepherd? Jesus, right? Who are the sheep? Who hears his voice? We do, the sheep. Amen? It's not, maybe you could hear it. He's emphatic here. He says, they will hear his voice. That word voice, yes. And again, we know that there's many ways to hear God. You might be reading the word and a scripture jumps off the page. A prophetic word from someone else. Or maybe God is just, we're moved by a feeling or something just comes over us not to do this or go this way or something like that. You don't hear a voice. But there is a place where he will speak to you. Now, I'm not talking about an audible voice. I've heard that one time in my life. Only once. And that was when he said, David, I've called you to be a pastor. That was it. He talked to me outside, out here. I mean, it was just as clear as a bell. I heard that voice, and I know that voice. I've never heard that any other way. But he does speak to me, and I still hear his voice from here. In other words, God is saying to you, he's speaking to you right now. I hope in the next couple of weeks, however it works out, I'm not sure how it's going to work out exactly as the Lord leads us, that we're going to take a moment here and we're going to listen to what the Lord is saying to us. The one thing about a baby, the baby knows the mother's voice. And I'm going to guess probably the mother's voice more than the father's voice at the beginning. Because the mother usually spends more time with the baby. The baby gets accustomed. When the mother speaks, the baby, even though it may not be able to speak yet, will turn and look towards where the sound's coming from. They'll pay attention. When they come in and all of a sudden they see something in their hand and maybe they get excited, a bottle or something, who knows? But they know the voice. When they hear it, they listen and pay attention to it. That's where we got to be. Like little children, like little babies sometimes. I'm going to come and I'm going to listen for my father's. He's going to talk to me. And be assured of this. He will talk to you. I'll guarantee he will talk to you. I'll tell you even this, even if you're not saved yet, and you're not truly saved, you just have head knowledge, he will talk to you. Because he talked to me before I was saved. That's how I got into the kingdom. God is speaking. There's things in your life right now, every one of us in this place, that we want to see come to pass. Things we've been believing God maybe for a long time, maybe not for so long, who knows? And all the Father wants to do is instruct us on how to go to see the fulfillment of your heart's desire. Now, if you're going to be selfish about it, if all it is about you and I want this and I want that and I can't have this and I want to have that, well, that's different. God will probably tell you something, but it's not what you want to hear. Amen? Now, he won't be mean about it. He'll say, you've got to set that aside. Remember what I told you last week, I think I did? When I was sitting there praying, and you know, in the morning, and I'm praying, and God said, Dave, there's a difference between wanting. Remember what I said? He said, if you're going to pray all the time what you want, instead of what I said, then you're never going to see what I want for you. Amen? When we got to get off that. Well, yeah, but I'm praying what God said. Yeah, I understand you're praying what God said. But is that what God wants you to pray at this point of your time? I sit and listen to him. I spend more time now just listening for his voice than I do actually throwing out prayers all over the place. One word from him will pinpoint the problem right there. I've been praying all the time over here. Well, it looks like that's the problem. I remember a story I was reading And I was listening to her reading or something, and the guy was talking about a young child they had in their home. And she was just like a foster child coming into the house because she had run away, went on the streets and all this stuff, and was really, really not very good place. And she was living in the home, and this guy was a pastor, and had other children there too. And this girl was causing a lot of problems, a lot of problems. And so he decided he was going to ground her. He was going to deal with her harshly. He was going to make a big fuss about this. And as he was in his prayer time, because she had stayed out late and he's waiting for her to come home from school so he could punish her. And in his prayer time, God started dealing with him. And he started telling him, that's not her problem. Her problem is this, this, and this. And he started thinking about it, and started looking about it, started meditating on it. And God started instructing him on how to deal with the situation and the problem. And so he surrendered to God's will. Child came in, and he started dealing with the situation. He started showing this girl did a whole turnaround. See, we look at the outside. God said this about David. And he said to Samuel, go over there and anoint him to be king. And he went over there, and he had two or three sons, four sons, whatever it was. And he said that he started, oh, this must be the one. He's tall, he's handsome, he's strong. And the voice of God spoke to him and said, no, that's not it. And he talked about another one. Oh, that must be one. No, that's not it. He went through all the children. Where's the one? He said, there. David come walking in. God said, listen, I don't look at the outward appearance of man. I look at the heart. So many of us have made errors in our judgments, in our walk with God, in our thinking, without stopping and considering and really hearing the voice of God on certain subjects, that we just come in and just assume that's the way it's going to be. Well, I've seen in the scriptures, and I've been guilty of it, that I have taken scriptures and used them to beat people over the head with. God didn't give us this to judge and destroy people's lives. He gave us this to instruct us on how to hear his voice and do what he instructs us to do with it. Now, his voice is not going to go against this. I guarantee you that. He's not going to tell you to do something that's outside of the word of God. Amen? But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be times when he's going to instruct you on what to do, and you're going to shake your head and say, oh, no, 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 Lord, no, no. Ananias was sitting in prayer one day. God said to him, I want you to go over there, and I want you to go over and lay hands on Paul. And he said, oh, no, Lord, I've heard about this guy. I know. He's been out there attacking the church. He's been putting people in prison. He's got letters now even go. He's telling God this as if God didn't know it. Come on. Well, you know, God, look at him. You know, he's not a very nice guy. He's not dressing nice. He's not looking nice. He's not talking nice. God said, listen, I got a plan for that person's life. Don't look at the outside of it. Look at the heart of it. I already know what I'm dealing with. Just go do what I tell you to do. And because Ananias submitted to the voice of God and went and did what God instructed him to do, we have 2/3 of the New Testament written by the same guy that he didn't want to go touch. So don't think that just because somebody or something doesn't go and it doesn't feel right, oh, don't feel right. If God said it, do it and watch what God will do with it. Amen. Amen. Watch what he'll do with it. He'll take the worst thing that you could possibly conceive and turn it around and make it good. When Joseph went into the pit and then he ended up in the palace, his brothers came before him and he said, listen, what you meant for evil, God wanted good out of it. Not only was Joseph blessed, but his whole family was blessed, and the whole nation of Israel became blessed. Because one man heard the voice of God and obeyed it. One man heard the voice of God and said, not my will, but your will be done, Father. He heard the voice of God that said, it's time, son. It's time to give up your life for their lives. Imagine this. God loved you so much that he asked his son to die on a cross for you. Most of us are, oh, no, no, I ain't going there. No, 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 no. But there was a man before that called Abraham. And God gave him the most cherished thing he could possibly have, and that was an heir. And God said, now that I've given you what you love most, I want to see who you really love. Take your son up on the, put him on the altar. Sacrifice him. Can you imagine the love he must have had for God? But he also had faith. He knew that if God asked him to give up his most precious gift that was given to him, that God was able to lift him up even out of the grave and give him back to him. I want you to know, when you start acting this way, walking in this, whatever God asks from you, it's nothing compared to what he's going to give back to you. And not only will it not only affect your life and transform it into something so glorious, it'll affect many, many others, your family members that you love, that you've been praying for, your friends, your neighbors. Yes, even your finances. Yes, even your health. All of it's going to be affected. When you hear the voice of God, God's going to instruct you what to do. Watch, listen, hear, and then do. Amen? Hallelujah. He said, my sheep know my voice. Voice of a stranger they'll not follow. You're not going to follow a stranger's voice. You can't be deceived into following some lie, some devil that's trying to tempt you away from the voice of your God. He's not. You can talk all you want, but I'm not listening to you. God has given you a spirit of discernment where you can discern between good and evil. You know. You know you can listen to somebody talking about Jesus and you'll sit there and go, something's not quite right here. Something's not quite right here. And then you can listen and somebody will say something and you go, yeah, that's it. That's God. I can receive that. I can walk with that. I can listen to that. Amen? God is good. All the time. All right, two more scriptures, then we're going to close for today. And then next week we'll do, or if, I don't know how it's going to work out next week, but at least we will continue in this. And I really want to spend some time training ourselves to hear the voice of God. There are certain steps we can take to hear it. Now, I'm not saying it works for everybody. I'm not saying this is what you got to do. I'm not saying any of that stuff. But I know most of us, including, especially me, let me say that, especially me, that when I try to sit and to listen, my mind's running a half a mile, and I'm always thinking, what, I got to get up and do this, I got to go over there and do that, and all these noises, all these voices are coming at me all this time, and I got to stop. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to hear it, and but first let me give you these. Deuteronomy 30, verse 2. God bless you. Deuteronomy 30, verse 2. He said this, and shall return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today. You and your children with all your mind and heart and with all your being. In 1 Kings 19, verse 9 through 11. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord, excuse me for a second. I just noticed I did this, and I didn't read it over after I printed it out, and half of it's missing. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in an earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Unfortunately for the world, they look at things that go bad in the world and they blame God. When there's a fire or there's a storm or there's snow or whatever it is, oh, it's an act of God. God's not in those things. He didn't come to destroy. He came to bring life. If there's something going on in your life that isn't perfect, and there's chaos, and there's destruction, and there's all this stuff going on in your life, stop for a minute. This is not God's will. God is not in it. But what he will do, speak to you to come out of it. He will speak to you to come out of it. Well, maybe God wants me in it. No. He came to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, deliver those who are bound. This is the work of God. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy, I came to bring life. And what kind of life? Abundant life. This is what God is doing. Don't get caught up in, well, it must be God's will that I go through this terrible time. No. But God, in bringing you out of that terrible time, will teach you in the midst of it how to stay out of it next time. Amen? You don't have to fail and then fail again before you learn. Fail the first time. God will tell you why you failed and then keep you instructions how not to fail. Amen? Glory to God. Amen. Let's close. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this time. We bless you. We give you glory. I pray, Father, that we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. We thank you, Lord, right now as we receive it. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you would bring understanding to each and every one that's here today. The enemy can't come and steal that word out of their heart. But that word will take root deep within their heart and produce a harvest, Father God, to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That others would be so great of a harvest that others would come and partake of it. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You got something, darling? Well, you want to come up here, my sweet?